Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show special edition. Once again, Copa America Centenario Day 3 review as we review these games in Group C between Jamaica and Venezuela, as well as Mexico and Uruguay. And wow, what a match that was between Mexico and Uruguay. Just unbelievable moments there. I mean, first of all, I want to say I'm sorry to everyone from the country of Uruguay, the national team of Uruguay, the Federation of Football Federation of Uruguay, the country itself, and those Uruguayans that are living in the United States. I feel very bad for you guys. I feel very, very sorry for you guys that after Mexico's national anthem was played, that you were given the national team or the national anthem of Chile instead of Uruguay. And I feel very, very bad for you guys. I really do. I'm very sorry that happened. Never thought I would see that happen. And that should never have happened, period. Now, obviously, it's one of those moments where that you'd like to think that when you have a major tournament like the Copa America, and of course we all know even the World Cup, you would think that these types of mistakes would never happen. And sadly, they did. And once again, you know, I am also giving you guys my sincere apologies, even though I know I had nothing to do with it, but I can understand why everyone in Uruguay was very upset, very, very upset that their national anthem was not being played. In fact, I got the – now, this is a Google translation, obviously. This is from the Uruguayan Football Federation sent to the members of CONCACAF and the Copa America Centennial Local Organizing Committee. Of our most consideration, with great sadness and amazement, both Uruguayans present at the University of Phoenix Stadium, witnessing the debut of our selection in the Centenary Cup, as all those who from our country followed the television broadcast, they could not sing our anthem national, to the grotesque mistake of the organizer of irradiating the anthem of another country and not of Uruguay. We believe that the fact represents an affront to the Football Association, to our Uruguayan footballers, and all. It is a very special moment before the start of each party. The AUF is the federation that has proudly achieved title champions in 15 American Cups, among other sporting achievements worldwide, and is deserving of respect and consideration of the entire football world. The organization was in full knowledge of which is the national anthem of Uruguay since and during the previous technical meeting. We made us hear the correct version. Why we consider that what happened is not a mere oversight, but a very reprehensible fact. Despite the apologies received from the organization, we wish that has actually been an advert error that should not be repeated in future presentations of our selection this tournament. But even if so, the opportunity makes it turn not being then produced irreversible grievance. We await with expectation of the local organizing committee remedial actions and be very attentive of future events. And I don't blame them for being upset. I don't blame them for being angry, and I don't blame them for feeling like this. No one wants to hear that another national anthem of a different country is being played instead of yours, and that's a shame of it. But what was not a shame was this fantastic match between these two sides that went toe-to-toe, nail-to-nail. Everything about it was great. You're going to expect those little problems here and there, but still, though, the truth of the matter is this. This was a great match between Mexico and with Uruguay. Joining me right now, my good friend John Jagu, who covers Mexico for, I believe it's The site is called dosacero.com, John, is that correct? I keep forgetting.
Yeah, talkthechronicle.com.
Okay, thank you very much.
We have a Dosacero weekly podcast.
That's what it is.
How's it going, Daniel?
It's going great, and I know you're on the West Coast getting ready for the Messi-less Argentina against Chile for revenge for tomorrow night in this Group D action. But, you know, John, I got to tell you, this was a wonderful match. I'll be honest, maybe it felt like it might have been going towards the original couple of matches that started the tournament. But, you know, this was absolutely breathtaking, a lot of fun, and a lot of action in this one. It was really great to see, dare I say it, a 37-year-old Rafa Marquez on a rebound chance that he just blasted that ball to the upper 90 at the far post.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing that a player like Rafa Marquez is continuing to show his abilities at such an advanced age. It's starting to remind me of a guy who didn't necessarily have as prolific a career of Marquez, but Colombia had a defender, Yepes, who played well into his late 30s. I think he even played at the 2014 World Cup, and, you know, he played in Italy for many, many years, and it just was amazing to me that when I would watch Colombia say, but how on earth is that guy still playing? And then you see how well he was playing. Oh, that's why. It's kind of the same thing with Marquez. I mean, Marquez had a terrific game tonight. Obviously, he got the goal, which was big, but I think that he held Mexico out defensively and just made some key tackles and reminded folks that that he's been playing for 20 years at an extremely high level, and was able to get the result for Mexico. And what I thought was just a terrific, almost like a heavyweight bout. I mean, just, you know, two teams that showed absolutely. I mean, they gave each other everything they could handle, and both teams played really well. There was a lot of excitement, a lot of drama, a lot of things happened, and in the end, Mexico was able to get just an absolutely huge result. Their toughest game in the group, and not only did they win the game, but they gave themselves a little separation with scoring the three goals. And I think that this is the game that the organizers were hoping that they would have seen already from some other teams, but they certainly got their money's worth over in Phoenix.
Oh, absolutely. And just to see all the, you know, a lot of hard challenges in this one. I mean, look, there's nothing you can do about it. You knew that both Uruguay and Mexico really wanted to really dominate the match. And I'll say this, and, you know, obviously no one wants to feel like you can't sing your own country's anthem when, you know, you're on the field and you want to, you know, you want to celebrate it. And maybe I might be overstating it. Do you think maybe this was a letdown for Uruguay because of the mistake that was made, that the organizers accidentally put on Chile's national anthem instead of Uruguay's?
I don't know, sir. I mean, obviously it was a terrible mistake, and I'm sure that, you know, every Uruguayan who was in attendance and watching on TV how can you not be just, you know, horrified and angry? But, you know, Uruguay is the kind of team that I always thought does much better when they have a huge chip on their shoulder. So, in a sense, I thought it really was going to help with Uruguay. When I heard that, I was like, oh, man, this is just exactly what I expected them to need. But then they got that own goal in the third minute. And I think that really kind of tipped the scales even more toward Mexico's favor, especially in the first half. Mexico.
I mean,
possession.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely, John. I felt bad for them. I felt horrible for them because, like I've said before, outside of USA and Mexico, I like how Uruguay plays. I love how technical they are. I really think they are a fantastic national team to watch. I love how they build up with the ball attacking. And I felt bad for them that this happened to them. Obviously, it's a terrible, terrible mistake that should never have happened. And secondly, of course, you know, we'll get to what happened at the end of the match. Obviously, you feel bad for them. That shouldn't have happened either. But that's the one negative I don't like about Uruguay is when, you know, they start surrounding the officials. But besides that,
well, you see, that's my issue I've always had with Uruguay. I've been watching them for 30 years, and mm-hmm. I agree with you. When they put their mind to it, you know, they can play just an incredibly I would call it, just it's brutish but elegant style of play. They have, obviously, their players are very technically skilled. They have just an unbelievably high, I know the soccer IQ, which I think is also prevalent in Argentina, where other players from other countries, not to say that they don't have it, but it didn't come as naturally to them as it does to Uruguayans and Argentines. It's one of the reasons why you see so many of them playing abroad. The ugly side of Uruguay is exactly what you said, is the physical style of play. Sometimes you get a little carried away with it. There was a player that went after the Mexico coach post-game today. They went after the referees. It was interesting to me because, Uruguay, again, using the, every trick at their disposal, I think that they tried so hard to get Mexico out of their game that in the end it actually ended up backfiring on them, and then they got themselves out of their own game, and then Mexico was able to get that third goal, and it came really close to get the fourth goal there at the end.
Yeah.
So it was... but I would have to give full credit to Mexico, and I think that one player that's going to really, really, really make a name for himself in this tournament, we saw it a little bit, and I think we'll see it again in the next two rounds when he actually starts, is number eight, Irving Lozano, who's just he's like the second coming of Marco Overmars, as far as I'm concerned. He has that kind of speed. He's incredible with the ball, and he can shoot, he can pass, he can do it all, and then he's just going to – somebody is going to pick up a really talented young winger at the end of this tournament, and that guy's going to be named Irving Lozano. He's just a terrific player.
Yeah, he really was awesome watching him in that second half. I mean, he was doing everything possible to put Mexico on the front foot. But when Diego Godin headed that ball in after, of course, we got two players got sent off on double yellows. Obviously, Matheus Vecino. From Uruguay, and of course, I thought it was. No one saw what Guardado did. The league's MLS's match tracker says unsporting behavior. So I guess he must have said something after the tackle and the foul that he created that gave Uruguay that set piece for the free kick. I guess he must have said something to the referee that gave him the second yellow, which I thought that. I know they're all competitive players, but I thought like a player like Guardado, you get sent off on a second yellow for, I would say, dissent. I just don't think that's the right thing to do.
Well, I mean, this was the first red card that Mexico had received in an official tournament where you were qualifying since 2009. So, I mean, it's been a while since I've seen a Mexico player with a red card. I'm not sure what, I mean, I watched the play, and it looked like just a pretty innocuous foul, but you're right, mm-hmm. though. I mean, it must have somebody said afterward, or, maybe the Uruguayans provoked him into doing something that he's otherwise not. I can't tell you last if I've ever seen Andrés Guardado ever get red carded, club or country.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something that was completely out of his, out of who he is. It just was not him. And now we're going to see what Mexico's going to do to replace him because, they have options, but they don't have options in the sense that they have guys that are as good on the ball as Guardado is. So, luckily for Mexico, this is happening after they got their toughest group game out of the way. Now they play, and no disrespect to Jamaica or Venezuela for fans that are listening, but they're just not as good as Uruguay, and I think that everybody would agree with that.
Oh, absolutely.
So instead of, Guardado missing like a quarterfinal or semifinal, he's going to miss, just one of these next matches, and then he'll be back in the third one, and I'm sure he will have learned his lesson. And he'll move on and grow and learn.
No, absolutely. I mean, I was very uncharacteristic to see him, just to see him walking out, and you're thinking to yourself, what's wrong with him? Is he injured? Is there a substitution? And then, of course, on the graphic says red card. I'm like, what? How is that? What did he do? And you're looking at replays at the tackle, and the tackle wasn't even red card worthy. And then, of course, you're trying to find a suitable match tracker, and MLS says it right here. It says on sporting behavior. So he must have said the magic words, and on the second yellow card, he was sent off. But I agree with you. Guardado is such a great player, such a gentleman of the game. I never thought I'd see him get sent off.
Exactly, and actually it ended up, even though Godin scored the goal, and by the way, talking about how technically skilled Uruguayan players, I mean, what a great play that Godin made
Oh yeah.
You know, a little while before the goal, where he took it away from the field, and, you know, passed to Cavada. I mean, I don't know how Uruguay did not score on that play.
I know.
Instead of one timing it, where he had the goalie beat, he settled and missed the shot.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty amazing that Mexico was able to, you know, dodge some bullets tonight, and you know they withstood a team that was able to attack or try to attack Mexico on, you know, in every facet of the game. They tried, you know, to intimidate them physically, with speed, you know, mentally. They just everything, they tried everything they could in Mexico, you know, to their credit. And this is something that I don't say very often, was able to, you know, to withstand that. And they were able to come out on top, which is not usually the case in Mexico when they
no,
go
it
up
isn't.
Against teams like this.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right.
I mean, I think this is a really big win. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big
it's
win.
It's a really
especially,
big win, and
yeah.
More so than what... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm saying you're absolutely right. This is a big win. I mean, usually Mexico... I mean, you know, when you have these games, especially with Mexico, when they are always the invitational team, one of the two invitational teams during the normal Copa Americas, or even Mexican clubs that play in the Copa Libertadores as well as the Sudamericanas, you know, there's always that chip for Mexico... for the national team or for the clubs to go and try and win these club tournaments down in South America. And, you know, I agree with you. I mean, you know, such wonderful challenges that we always see in these matches.
You know, Mexico has been playing in Copa America since 1993. They surprised everybody, not sure about making it all the way to the final, where they lost to Argentina. They made another final. They've made it to the semifinals five times in the tournament. So Mexico is not intimidated at all and haven't been for a while by South American opposition. Not just because they're not intimidated doesn't mean that they're not going to lose to them. Obviously, they've lost to them before. But Mexico has a huge advantage in this tournament that South Americans don't have. And I think we've seen this in the attendance figures so far, is that there is a home team in this tournament, and it's not the USA, it's Mexico. And Mexico's playing the next game at the Rose Bowl, where there'll be 90,000 people. Then they're going to play in Houston, where there'll be 75,000 people, and 90% of those guys, 95% of those fans, are going to be rooting for Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true. So let me ask you this question then. Obviously, it looks like that Juan Carlos Osorio, he might be staying around for a while. I mean, it looks like you know, there's 20 straight matches for the national team without a defeat. It looked like it might have been a draw, this one, until Rafa Márquez puts in that ball very well placed. But how do you like Juan Carlos Osorio so far for the national team?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, guys are born to be national team coaches. They may not have, you know, maybe their club level is one, but maybe they're better suited to coach a national team. I think that that's where Osorio is. I think he's a guy who's just so in love with the mechanics of the game and how a game is played and how to make adjustments. That, you know, for a national team, it's really about, like, you know, what's going to work best for you at that time. And I think that Osorio is one of those guys that likes to tinker and tweak. And I think that for a national team, I think that works really well. Like, it's hard for, you know, teams that are coaches that are system coaches to be national team coaches, because then you're expected to pick the best players, and they're not always going to work with what you're trying to do. It seems like Osorio is one of those guys that likes to use what he has and then try to figure out what's the best way to use that. And I think that so far he's had great success, and he passed a huge test tonight going up against, you know, one of the great coaches in the world. And Oscar Washington Tavares, the Uruguayan coach, who seems like he's been there since the mid-70s. I mean, the guy's been around for a long time. And he's just, and you know, and his players just absolutely love him. And they will do anything for him. I mean, you never hear of any Uruguayan player, you know, being dissatisfied with their national team. You know, they don't want to, you know, they don't want to do that, because they like their coach so much, and they play really hard for him. I mean, I used to really not like Uruguay. To me, they were like just the, like the biggest villains of international soccer. And I, like you, over the years, have really come to respect their pragmatic and just sometimes just ruthless efficiency with how they play. They're just a really enjoyable team to watch when they decide to play soccer enough. When they get into the dark arts
mm-hmm.
and resort to their older ways, it's not as pretty to watch. But you know, for Mexico to get this win and to get the 3 goals and a 2-goal goal differential is definitely gonna put them in the driver's seat to win the group.
Yeah, absolutely. Because right now, while I'm just talking about what Venezuela did, I thought they did a great job, even though I thought they started poorly against Jamaica, and Jamaica was on the front foot till they carelessly gave the ball away, and Venezuela went out there and just did a job. And even though I thought the red card was kind of harsh on the Jamaican defender, still, though, I mean, his studs were showing there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, I know he got the ball first, but it's the follow through and landing of his boot. His studs caught the ankle of the Venezuelan player that he accidentally got. But still, though, that's a red card, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, it was a bit, I'm not going to say harsh, but just the fact that it happened, I think, was tough. But I mean, like I said, you know, them's the rules, and it may have been unfortunate, but the law says that's how he's going to have to get punished. Jamaica, you know, I have a bit of high expectations for them, so this is, you know, a big win for Venezuela to get the 3 points. But Jamaica really tried, you know, desperately in the second half to make something happen. They just seem to miss and just squander opportunities, and it seems like that's, you know, for teams like the Jamaicans and the Panama's, most teams that are solid defensively but still, you know, lack that, or, you know, can't really necessarily avoid the unforced errors as much as other teams, or don't have just that one guy that they can come to with a pinch to get the goal. You know, it could spell trouble for them because, you know, now they get to play Mexico where, you know, they pretty much have to get 3 points off of that in order for them to advance. So they kind of really put themselves in a bad situation, which is unfortunate because, you know, that was another team that, you know, CONCACAF, that I thought had improved dramatically and had a relatively reasonable chance at advancing, you know, if they could get a result against Uruguay. Now it's looking, unfortunately, less likely.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Last thing before I let you go, because I know you got to get ready for the big Argentina-Chile match for tomorrow night on the West Coast. You know, it's a shame that, and, you know, it's just a big, big shame, like we've said already, how Uruguay, and I understand maybe there's a couple of calls. Look, there are calls you're going to feel like shouldn't have happened and stuff like that. But once again, when you surround the officiating crews, and Cavani is such a fantastic player, Godin's a fantastic player, and every one of those players have done so well for their club sides, as well as doing something very special with their national team. I mean, you know, for goodness sakes, how many Copa Americas have Uruguay have won? But still, though, at the end of the day, I just don't like seeing that. And, of course, hearing about – and Grant Wall even said it himself. He was like, Jose Jimenez, he tried to attack Juan Carlos Osorio after the game. In Spanish, Carlos said he was unprofessional. And I don't blame Juan Carlos Osorio for saying that, because that's just terrible. You don't go after an opposing coach. You don't do that.
No, yeah, and apparently he was mad because Osorio was telling his players to to make sure that he couldn't use his preferred foot, which, I mean, frankly, no offense, but, I mean, if that's what you're mad about, then you've got then you're not really mad about that. You're mad about some other stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, the unfortunate part of Uruguay. Hopefully, that, you know, maybe they'll get it out of their system and get back to it, because, you know, just because they lost tonight doesn't mean that they're not out of turn.
And
they still win their next 2 games and qualify. And then who knows what's going to happen. Now, unfortunately, tomorrow, I don't think we're going to see Lionel Messi. I think he's still going to be recovering. And frankly, I'm surprised he's actually made it to the States, because he was in Barcelona getting treatment. So just the fact that he's here, I'm sure he's just completely jet-lagged. It wouldn't surprise me at all if we end up not seeing him. And I'm not saying that, you know, that Argentina's hopes are dashed without it, because, I mean, frankly, they're easily the deepest team in the tournament. Not that you can replace the Messi, but you could certainly plug in somebody that was going to do liquid itself very well. So I don't necessarily think that Argentina is going to be devastated by the loss because, they have other guys they can rely on and they'll do just fine.
No, I agree with you. I don't think this is going to be damaging at all for Argentina. If he misses this one, fine. You know, let him get the treatment. Let him get through his tax evasion case back in Barcelona, which, I don't think he's the type of person that would do stuff like that. But we don't know what the full story is, so I'm just going to leave that one alone. But still, I agree with you. Messi will be available for the next two group stage matches when they're ready to play. This one, if he misses Chile, it's not the end of the world, and I agree with you. We're going to see a lot of fun tomorrow night, of course, and I personally can't wait. But John, listen, you have a good night. You get some rest, and I'll talk to you next time after the next Mexico match.
Good, Daniel, always a pleasure, and enjoy the next week's worth of games. And then next week we get soccer from sun up to sundown. It's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's gonna be nuts. It's just, I don't know how much I can handle that. Euros and the Copa America Centenario. It's going to be crazy, man. Can you handle all this?
I'll tell you who won't be able to handle it. My wife. Probably your wife, too.
Yeah, I know.
But you know what?
You too, John. Take care. John Jagu, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Take it easy. Once again, from SoccerChronicle.com, John Jagu, as we discuss the crazy match that was, of course, Mexico and Uruguay. And once again, great goal from Venezuela, great goal from Josef Martinez that beat Andre Blake. And, my God, Andre Blake, it goes to show you why he is the top keeper for Jamaica's national team as they're trying to restructure everything possible, trying to add on to that Gold Cup run that got them to the finals for the first time ever in the CONCACAF Gold Cup. So just keeping Jamaica alive. And, unfortunately, as a law of the land, of the laws of the game, of what happened to Mr. Rodolphe Austin, it was a serious foul. I mean, obviously he got the ball first, but the landing of his leg took him down. Now, here we go for Copa America now. Of course, on Monday night, 7 o'clock Eastern on Fox Sports 1, it will be Panama against Bolivia over at Orlando at Camping World Stadium. And then, of course, the next match, the big one at Levi Stadium at 10 o'clock Eastern, Argentina versus Chile. That match will also be on Fox Sports 1. Check your local listings for the channel number of the provider that you have. But I got to say this once again, this has been entertaining. This has been fantastic to watch. And I've been, finally, we got a match that was worth the price of admission, and hopefully we'll get more of these. I personally can't wait for Argentina versus Chile because that's going to be revenge from last year's regular Copa America final. That's going to be a big one, a huge one, and I really think we're going to get ourselves a great match for that one, because if we don't, there's going to be more complaining. And here's what I found out, of course, and just to get away from the matches for a second, and I just want to say to some Soccer United Marketing, you overpriced the tickets, and it's a shame that you did that, because now you're not seeing a lot of people coming to the games, and I think that's wrong. You overpriced the tickets, and you should also think about today's economy in this country, because then you would probably have tons of people going to all these games, and it's just you're not making it affordable for them, and I think it's a shame. But other than that, still, this was a great, great match. Final scores, of course, Mexico 3, Uruguay 1, and then, of course, Venezuela 1, Jamaica 0. But other than that, thank you again for listening tonight, folks. This is your Copa America Centenario Review Show, Day 3. My name is Dan Weirstein. Thanks again to John Jagu. And we will talk to you tomorrow night, same time, midnight Eastern, 9 o'clock Pacific time. Good night, everybody. And as always, enjoy your football. Take care and so long. Bye-bye for now.